Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, pilots in Aer Lingus have again voted overwhelmingly for strike action in a dispute over pay. The Environment Minister describes as historic an EU decision to approve a controversial nature restoration law. However, the IFA is very perturbed. The Taoiseach says there is an emerging consensus in relation to Ursula von der Leyen remaining on as President of the European Commission, and there are calls for the appointment of a permanent dog warden in Donegal after a serious incident yesterday in Muff. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation that pilots in Aer Lingus have again voted overwhelmingly for strike action in a dispute over pay. Members of IALPA voted 99% in favour in a second ballot, this time on paper. With more, here's Ellen Butler.
The union says the result is an incredible reaffirmation of the mandate for industrial action. A second paper ballot was held after the airline expressed concerns over the first one, which was conducted electronically last week. IALPA says that only served to further antagonise pilots in this pay dispute. It also says its rulebook allows for electronic ballots and claims the concerns Aer Lingus raised were unfounded. The union is holding out for a pay increase in the region of 24%, having rejected Labour Court recommendations of over 9%. It's not clear yet what kind of industrial action may come of this, but the union says it's engaging with colleagues to determine the next steps.
The Environment Minister has described as historic a decision by the EU to approve the controversial nature restoration law. It aims to put measures in place to restore at least 20% of the EU's land and sea areas by 2030. The regulation is designed to mitigate climate change and the effects of natural disasters. Minister Eamon Ryan says the restoration of nature is in everyone's interest.
This provides opportunities to pay our farmers. This is a voluntary system, but in my mind it opens up income streams so that we can pay for the restoration of nature locally, ground up, bottom up. And that's why I think everyone was so relieved. There was one of the longest applauses I've heard in the European Council, because it was a future-looking, important day.
However, the Irish Farmers Association insists it will not stand for farmers' property or their right to farm their land being undermined. IFA President Francie Gorman says not enough preparatory work has been done and the potential impact of the measure has not been assessed.
We're very disappointed because firstly we felt that to legislate wasn't the way to go about doing it. There's been no impact assessment done and no budget provided. And to do it upside down is the way I would describe it. It should have been incentivised and we should have had an impact assessment on how this was going to deliver for nature and economically the impact it was going to have on farmers as well, and neither was done.
The Taoiseach has suggested there's an emerging consensus in relation to Ursula von der Leyen remaining on as President of the European Commission. EU leaders are holding an informal meeting in Brussels where key positions will be discussed. However, no decisions will be made. Simon Harris has confirmed Fianna Fáil will nominate Ireland's next commissioner. The last commission required a gender balance in terms of membership. The Taoiseach insists, however, it's up to member states to decide who they nominate.
That hasn't arisen in any conversations I've had so far, but then again, those conversations haven't really yet arisen. I've mixed views on that. I take gender equality and gender balance very seriously, but I'm also aware of the treaties, and it is a matter for member states to decide who they wish to put forward as a commissioner, but we'll consider that as a government in due course.
There are calls for the appointment of a permanent dog warden in Donegal after a serious incident yesterday in South Inishowen. A man in his 20s was rushed to hospital after he was bitten by a dog in Muff, it's understood. The animal was a Rottweiler. Gardaí say they are investigating the incident. The man was brought for treatment to Algonquin Hospital in Derry. It follows an incident in which three pet lambs were killed in a two-dog attack last week. Well, earlier today on the 9 till noon show, Councillor Terry Crossan called for the appointment of a permanent dog warden in Donegal.
There was another incident in my own area over the last bank holiday weekend when two dogs were at large and got into a property and killed three wee pet lambs that somebody's grandchildren had been looking after and feeding every day. The dogs got out, they got into the paddock and killed them. And the problem was, it happened over a bank holiday again, there was no availability of a dog warden. A dog warden is only available every day from 10:30 until 1:30 every day, Monday to Saturday. Not available at weekends, not available over bank holidays, and not available in an emergency. Yesterday's incident was very much an emergency, and we need a designated line that we can contact dog wardens in the case of a serious incident.
61 patients had to wait at least an hour for ambulances to arrive in Donegal during the course of the second half of last year. That's according to figures just released by the National Ambulance Service. Questions have been raised about the length of time it's taking in Donegal, particularly as the figure for the neighbouring county of Sligo was 4. Additional ambulances have been stationed in Stranorder, Buncrana and other areas in a bid to reduce call times. But local councillor and regional health forum member councillor Jeremy McMonagall says patently that's not been enough and more needs to be done.
Geography has a part to play in this, but it's not entirely about geography. And if it is entirely about geography, then what we need to do is recruit more ambulance service personnel and put more units out there in the periphery of the county, and not just to have ambulance bases in the main towns or in the county. And this again is something we have raised as regards Donegal for quite a while. And
I suppose we need to probably drill into the figures a little bit more as well, because apparently the ambulance service said they had been close to meeting their targets for responding to so-called purple and red calls. So that's where there's a life-threatening illness or injury.
Yeah, and every second does count. And the other issue that we have is obviously ambulances being docked at their County University Hospital. The turnaround times, that the knock-on effect to 7, 8, 9, 10 ambulances at times being queued up awaiting to debus patients into the emergency department up there is causing untold issues and problems and response times. We're having to go outside the county end to bring ambulances in to respond to calls. But the other thing which I noticed in the report was that some calls were identified as a low acuity call, which wouldn't be that serious, and they could maybe have a bit of time before they could respond if there was a more serious case in the meantime. But I would just worry about that, because then they were upgraded to a higher acuity category. And I'm wondering, you know, what has happened there? Is there a job of work to be done there?
Councillor Jeremy McMonagall there speaking to Greg Hughes on the 9 till noon show. The Supreme Court has made a significant ruling in relation to the admissibility of mobile phone evidence gathered in breach of EU law. The judgment was made on the back of an appeal taken by a gunman for the Kinahan cartel against his conviction for attempted murder. Court's correspondent Frank Graney has the details.
In 2021, a hitman for the Kinahan cartel was convicted of the attempted murder of James Mago Gately. The Supreme Court heard arguments in relation to the admissibility of call records and location data used against him. His lawyers argued that the evidence should not have been allowed because the Irish law, which allowed for its retention and subsequent use in a criminal investigation, was in breach of EU law. In today's judgment, the court accepted that the evidence was unlawfully gathered, but crucially it ruled, by majority verdict, that it wasn't gathered in deliberate or conscious violation by the investigation team because the law was still on the Irish statute book at the time. Today's ruling could have significance in relation to other high-profile cases, including a similar appeal taken by convicted murderer Graeme Dwyer. Frank Graney at the Supreme Court.
There's been an alarming drop in seatbelt use among drivers and passengers, according to the Road Safety Authority. It's published a study comparing 2022 figures with last year. It shows a 5% drop for front seat passengers and a 4% decrease for drivers, 1 in 10 people reported driving without belting up at least once in the past month. There have been more efforts to bring Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh back into the Fine Gael's parliamentary party. The former chief whip resigned after voting against legislation underpinning the enhanced effective block redress scheme. Deputy McHugh says as it stands, there hasn't been progress in terms of specific requests he made in relation to penalty-free downsizing, the exclusion of foundations in the scheme and the transfer of eligibility. He plans to meet with the Taoiseach and party colleague Simon Harris shortly to discuss the issue.
The trauma continues and there are places where the government could make progress. And ultimately, and I really believe this, the only way that this issue will be to get the gravity that it ultimately needs will be a Taoiseach-led response from the top, and to stop this pick picking out counties like it's a Donegal issue, it's a Mayo issue, it's a Clare issue. Everybody knows that this is a national issue. In the recent report, the UK-based consultancy company is bringing in counties on the east coast as well.
And was there any promise that if you came back, they would put more work into it, or was there any kind of discussions like that?
There was a discussion, obviously a discussion around what I say would make substantial progress. Obviously, nothing has happened in relation to that. As of now, I'm outside the parliamentary party. I don't attend parliamentary party meetings, so obviously I don't have the same access to the important weekly meetings where issues can be raised. Really, the issues that I called for did not require extra monies, did not require extra exchequer funding, and that's a disappointment I have. And certainly during the last local election and European election, which went on and people were very active, I couldn't be as active because it would be a hypocritical stance if I was. So therefore, I didn't get as involved as I would like to. But that is the issue. I will keep raising this issue. I have questions down again this week to the Minister for Housing in relation to a number of issues. And I've also requested a meeting with Tisha Simon-Harris. So let's see what happens after that.
Deputy Joe McHugh there speaking to Donna Marie Doherty. The Assembly at Stormont has been told more attention must be paid to the rise in cases of COPD across Northern Ireland. The issue was raised by West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan, whose own mother has the condition and was hospitalised last week after an urgent situation arose. Mr McCrossan told the Assembly she is one of over 41,000 people with the condition in the North, and it's vital that more resources are given over to allow for early detection and better treatment.
This disease knows no bounds, affecting people of all ages, backgrounds and all walks of life. It is a condition that really needs our full attention, compassion and indeed action. To date, 41,000 people across Northern Ireland are registered as having the condition, but it is expected that the figure would be much higher than that if proper detection was happening. And my own personal journey with COPD has been a challenging one, as I've witnessed how this condition has impacted on my mother's life. It has brought to the forefront the very harsh realities and struggles faced by those battling this debilitating illness on a daily basis. Her recent hospitalisation has only amplified the urgency of the situation for us as a family, driving home the importance of greater awareness for families and all of those affected, but also more support for those with COPD in Northern Ireland. I think it's important at this juncture, Mr Speaker, that I put on record my heartfelt gratitude and appreciation to the dedicated healthcare professionals at Alton na Galvin Hospital. I think it's also important that I put on record my deep appreciation to the respiratory team at Omagh Hospital and the Western Trust. It is imperative that this Assembly and indeed the Department of Health take greater action to ensure greater resources and support are there to ensure we can support those with this disease. The numbers are rising across Northern Ireland, and I want to thank all of those who in our health service do a tremendous job in supporting those with COPD in our community.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the Donegal GAA Western Range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five. Good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Donal. A very good evening. We're going to start with golf. It is day one of the Amateur Championship, which is taking place in Donegal for the very first time, of course, being hosted by Ballyliffin Golf Club. And it's the opening day action. Joining us now on the line is manager from Ballyliffin, John Farn. Listen, John, thanks for joining us this evening. What's it been like down there on day one? It seems to be that the competition very much on the old course seems to be the scoring course today, and changing conditions throughout the morning and the afternoon. So what's the golf been like so far on day one?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Oisin. The scoring course today has been the Old Links, with the leader, Conor Graham, actually had a course record on his sights at one stage. Six under, playing the old course today, outstanding shooting, and he was out in the early part of the day, which is the tougher part of the day. So fantastic. He nearly missed out on a birdie on the last. So, yeah, great story there for young Conor Graham from Scotland. Yeah, most of the scoring has been done on the old links today. The best on Bashidi was two under by a Dutch guy, Bon van der Voort. Some of the Irish not going as well as expected. Max Kennedy is the best of the Irish so far. Young Sean Keating from Rogenstown and Gidor, has just finished one under on the old links as well. So still plenty of interest there. Jay Quinlan's also one of the Irish on one under. Again, those guys played the old course. So the scoring definitely has been on the old course. And all to play for tomorrow. And really a tale of two halves too this morning. It was quite blustery. It settled a bit this afternoon, less rain. The green speeded up. There was better scoring in the afternoon, definitely.
Yeah. Obviously, the guys at the top of the leaderboard, as we said, are on the old course and have fared out better. But listen, that could all change tomorrow, because whoever played the old course today is going to be on the Glashidi tomorrow. And once again, conditions could have a huge factor in how the scoring is going to pan out over the course of the day, John.
Yeah, the forecast is pretty similar for tomorrow. So those that had the advantage of playing the lower line old links today will face the more exposed Glashidi links tomorrow, and you know that could even things up between those that were on Glashidi today and those that weren't. But it's a great test of golf here today, a good links day. Plenty of spectators, which we're delighted with. There's about 1,000 spectators through the gates today, so good buzz around the place. Car park's full, and plenty of people out watching. Some fantastic golf.
Okay, listen, John, thanks.
An interesting one for you, Oisin. There was a guy there just finished. He came in from Kenya last night. No golf clubs. The airline lost his golf clubs. He went out there today with 9 clubs. He didn't want the rest of the rental set, and finished level par on the old links. Quite astonishing.
Astonishing, surely. And he's only 6 behind the leader. Once again, John, I suppose to remind listeners, this is a fantastic event which is in the Northwest for the very first time. And if people want to experience some fantastic golf, admission is absolutely free for this all week.
Absolutely free, and plenty of parking. We have rented quite a considerable bit of acreage on the way into the golf club. So you can park right beside the driving range and walk in, and you're on the golf course. Outdoor catering and plenty of facilities available for spectators. Tomorrow evening will be a little more interesting too, with scheduled to go to a two-hole playoff for those tied for the top 64 places. So we could be here quite late tomorrow evening with a cut being made for the match play stages. So looking forward to that. It could be a bit of excitement later on tomorrow evening.
Okay, John, many thanks for joining us here on The Sport today, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again tomorrow at some stage along the way. From the Amateur Championship, which has been held in Ballyliffin, and Conor Graham of Scotland is the leader by a shot at 6 under. Okay, let's go to Gaelic Games action. And the GAA have confirmed the dates and times for this weekend's games. On Saturday, in the preliminary quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship at 4 o'clock, Galway will play Monaghan. Tyrone are taking on Roscommon at Hayley Park and Oma at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And then later in Castlebar, Derry are taking on Mayo at 6:30. The game's also on Saturday. There's 2 quarterfinals in the Hurling Senior Championship. Dublin and Cork are at 1:15. Clare and Wexford are at 3:15. And at 1:30 on Saturday as well, the All-Ireland Minor Football Championship semi-final involving Derry is taking place in Cusick Park in Mullingar, and that one throws in at 1:30 on a Saturday. The other semi-finals penciled in for Sunday, starting at 5:30 in Longford, Armagh are up against Mayo. Talton Cup semi-finals this weekend, Antrim play Laois and Down take on Sligo, both at 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock is the times for both of those games, taking place at Croke Park. And there's another semi-senior championship preliminary quarter final football wise to be played. That's on Sunday. It's Louth against Cork. Inishkeen is the venue for that game, and it throws in on Sunday at 3 o'clock. So there you go. That's all the fixtures confirmed this afternoon by the GAA. And there'll be more GAA talk tonight on the DL Debate with Brendan Devaney. He'll be joined by journalist Christy O'Connor, and former Donegal midfield general John Gilday will also be in the programme, and that's live after the 7 o'clock news. Rome have earned their first victory at the European Championships since 2000. They have beaten the Ukraine by 3-0 in Group E in Munich. The Romanian skipper Nicolae Stanciu opened the scoring on the half-hour mark, and they added further goals in a 4-minute second-half spell from Marin and Dragos. Belgium are taking on Slovakia in Frankfurt in the other match in the group, and that game kicked off at 5 o'clock. Currently, no goals to report in that tie. While tonight, the French are kicking off their campaign in Group D with a match against Austria and Dusseldorf, and there's also an 8 o'clock start to that game this evening. French captain Kylian Mbappe has admitted his new club Real Madrid have denied him the chance to play at the Paris Olympics. The 25-year-old says he wanted to play in his home games, but with him being selected for the Euros, Real say that he can't play at the Olympics in Paris next month. Finally, in golf, Rory McIlroy is up to number 2 in the world rankings, and that's despite his collapse last night, where, of course, American Bryson DeChambeau won the US Open by just a single shot. And that is it from the sports desk for the moment, Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. ATU in Donegal has been announced as one of 4 locations to partner with private nursing homes to deliver a postgraduate gerontological nursing diploma. The €3.2 million package announced in February will support 205 registered nurses over 2 years and fund places during the academic years of 24-25 and 25-26. 3 dogs have been killed in a fire at a home in Derry. Yesterday's blaze at Meadowview Crescent is being treated as arson. Police received a report shortly before 25 to 7. A 36-year-old man's been arrested on suspicion of arson endangering life with intent and 2 counts of assault on police. No people were in the property, which was gutted. And Glenmaquin National School is to open its doors to the new extension there tomorrow. The addition has been described as a testament to the strength of the small community. With more, here's Katie Gillen.
Following extensive lobbying by staff, board of management, parents and the wider community, a new state-of-the-art classroom has been completed and will be open tomorrow. The nearly 160-year-old building has now doubled its floor space. 27 students, 8 of whom are Ukrainian refugees, attend the rural school, which only has 2 teachers and is around 5 miles outside of Letterkenny. Glenmaquin National School say the new classroom is a testament to the resilience of the small community in making a significant achievement. The opening will be a celebration of the work that has been done to continue to provide education to the children of Glenmaquin in the heart of their own community.
Mainly cloudy, but most areas will stay dry into this evening. Sunny spells continuing for a time. A mix of cloud and clear spells again tonight with a light northerly breeze. A few light showers will drift in overnight, but most areas will stay dry. Lows of 6 to 8 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow again, mostly cloudy and staying generally dry. Top temperatures 13 to 15 degrees Celsius in moderate northerly winds. And that's Highland Radio News. Taking a closing look at the headlines this evening before we go. And pilots at Aer Lingus have again voted overwhelmingly for industrial action up to and including strike. It's part of their dispute over pay. Members of IALPA voted by 99% in favour of the action in a second paper ballot. The Environment Minister has described the decision by the EU to approve the controversial nature restoration law as historic. However, the IFA are sceptical. They say they will not stand for anything that compromises farmers' property or the right to farm their land. The Taoiseach has suggested there's an emerging consensus in relation to Ursula von der Leyen remaining on as the President of the European Commission. EU leaders are holding an informal meeting in Brussels where key positions are being discussed, but no final decisions are being made. And there are calls for the appointment of a permanent dog warden in Donegal after a serious incident in South Inishowen yesterday. A man in his 20s was rushed to hospital in Derry after he was bitten by a Rottweiler dog in the Muff area. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Check all of today's news in our website, highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, have a very good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 17th of June. The death has taken place of Joe Doherty, 6 Melvin View, Strabane, reposing at his home from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 past 9 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Raymond Montgomery, Gort Naverne, Coolboy, Letterkenny, reposing at his home from 5 o'clock tomorrow evening. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11 in St Columbus Church, Kilmacrenan, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Pieta House, care of any family member, or Patrick Sweeney, funeral director. The death has taken place of Kathleen Katie Stewart, Cochin Derry Beg. Her remains will repose at her home this evening until 8 o'clock and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8. House private, please, after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, funeral director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Myra Floyd, Brahe Remelton, reposing at her home. Funeral service on Wednesday afternoon at 2 in Remelton Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in Bank Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Irish Wheelchair Association, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Mary Hughes, Naoe O'Donnell, Tírnagashog, Castle Finn. Remains reposing at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Castle Finn, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Rose Nealis, née Sheridan, 57 Hawthorne Heights, Letterkenny, formerly of Ballybose, Creasla. Reposing at the family home today until 9 p.m. and again tomorrow from 12 noon to 9 p.m. with rosary at 9 both nights. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral to St. Eunice Cathedral, Letterkenny, on Wednesday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. It can be viewed on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in the family plot at New Leck Cemetery. The death has taken place of Margaret Maggie Sweeney, née McDermott, Ballybose, Creasla. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Ballybose, with house strictly private, please, today. Wake tomorrow and Wednesday from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, on Thursday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Doe Graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Sammy Porter, Mahara Boy, Killigordon. His remains will repose at his late residence until 10 o'clock tonight. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in St Patrick's Church, Dunnoughmore, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Terence McClintock, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Pat O'Donnell, 35, Orchard Road, Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.